Revelation chapter number 21, if you have your Bibles this morning. Revelation chapter number 21. Should not be hard to find the book of Revelation. It's the last book of the Bible. Almost the very last chapter of the Bible. Thank you, Marla, for blessing us today. Brother Jay said he'd rather hear you than me preach. Said that right here on this platform. I said, give me a good vote of confidence. What is man, she sang, that thou art mindful of him. You know, there's a lot of things that bring comfort in this world, but I'll tell you what, there's not much of anything that would bring more comfort than the fact that God is mindful of me. I appreciate is such a limited word. I'm not sure that I have words to express to God. I'm so glad he didn't tell me that I had to be eloquent. He just simply said, in everything, give thanks. I'm so thankful that God is mindful of my humanity. Some people think, Pastor, there's a great distance between God and man. My friend, let me tell you something. The cross of Calvary bridged that distance. No longer is there distance between God and man. I found myself dominated this week with the thought that God was mindful of me. On Wednesday nights, we've been in the book of Esther, and it's been such a blessing just to see that God cares and God is providential and God's attention is concentrated on me. And I came to Revelation chapter number 21, and I was again impressed by the way that God knows us. The Bible says, as John writes this, after that tremendously terrifying chapter number 20, the Bible speaks about the unbelievers being cast into death and hell and the lake of fire and the second death. Whosoever, verse number 15 of chapter 20, was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You say, Pastor, how do I get written in the book of life? You receive Jesus Christ. If I've received Jesus Christ, my name is written down in glory. It's written down, sealed by the blood of Jesus. And I don't care what kind of eraser you have, you cannot erase my name out of the book of life. I come to chapter 21 and I'm reminded again of God's mindfulness toward us. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Can you imagine? I've never seen an ugly bride. Every time I've seen some close, but I've never seen an ugly one. I love to watch a husband's eyes, that boy standing right here, and that lady comes to the top of that aisle. Man, them old eyeballs just get all big like that. John said that city reminded him of a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God's people said, hallelujah, amen. I come to verse number 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. I don't know about you, but I read those words where it says there will be no more pain, and it's a great comfort to my heart. The thought one day that there would be no more pain in my life brings great peace, brings great hope. Your preacher comes to you today with a heavy heart, but with a confident heart. I have spent time being with the people of our church, and I've spent time in the community, and I, like you, have spent time watching the news. It seems like this week, especially in our police department and other parts of our city, that we as citizens of America, citizens of Broward County, we have experienced deep pain this week. I walk with the people of our church and pray with you, and you pray for me, and we talk together. And as the pastor, it seems like that in our church, we're not exempt from deep pain. There are different kinds of pain. Physical pain, emotional pain, mental pain, spiritual pain, relational pain, internal pain, external pain, and the list goes on. Hence, I want to preach a message to you today entitled this way, A World of Pain, A World of Pain. I am not a pessimist by nature. I guess you would say that I'm a glass, how do they say that now? Half full, not half empty kind of guy. My next cast is always going to catch the big one if you go fishing with me. And I don't care if 17 holes I have been three fairways over, hole number 18, I'm going to hit the green. I am just not a heavy, negative kind of person. And I don't want to be that way to you today. I want to help lift you today, and I want to encourage you and bless you today. And I want to look at the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ when it comes to bearing pain. We will all endure some kind of pain in our life. And I really believe that the Bible gives us an answer for that pain. So I want to bless you today, and I want to encourage you today. By the way, before I get to my message, I must give you a little bit of introduction, a little bit on the subject of pain. Do you ever think where pain came from? How did pain get into our lives? How did pain get into humanity? If it's so prevalent, where did it come from? You know, I go back to the beginning of mankind, and I go back to the Bible and Genesis, and I see that when the world was created and man was created, there was no pain in God's creation. There was no imperfection in God's creation. When God made man and God made the earth, God said everything was what, church? Good. There was no pain when God made man. Where'd pain come from? If you were to go to Genesis chapter 3, you would see that there's something that theologians like to call the fall of man. It's where sin was introduced to humanity. It is where Adam decided to go into sin. And when Adam made a choice to go into sin, Eve, she was tricked and she was deceived. But Adam was cognizant, made a full-blown choice to disobey God and to go into sin. And when Adam took the human race into sin, the consequence or the curse of that was that death passed upon all men, for all men are sinners, and the earth was cursed, and work was the curse of man, and the sweat of the brow, and the earth there, and woman received a curse, and pain began to come forward. Hence, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, the Lord said unto the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception in sorrow, which means deep pang, pang, P-A-N-G, pangs of pain. Thou shalt bring forth children. And any woman that's had a child in here would say, that's right, preacher, he did his job. Amen. Did you know that the earliest mention of pain in the Bible is found in Job chapter 14? You say, now wait a minute. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Job's way down here, preacher, but Genesis is over here. You're telling me the first mention of pain is in Job? Well, what about Eve? If you were to do a study, theologians believe that Job, the book of Job, was one of the earliest books of the Bible ever written. Genesis happened about 4,000 maybe BC or something like that, but they believe that Job was written before God even gave Moses the law. Why would they think that? Because they think that there's no way that anybody could go through what Job went through and have the theological discussions and the communications that he had with those friends and never mention the law. So sometimes, even if you look at your Bible at the beginning of Job, it could have it as early as 16 to 1900 BC. It probably is one of the earliest books ever written. He was one of the earliest men to ever walk the earth. And Job said it this way in the first verse of chapter 14. Man that is born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. Listen to what he said. He said, man's flesh, his flesh upon him shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. Job knew what it was to have physical pain, but he also knew what it was to have emotional pain, internal pain, pain that could not be judged by the way it attacked the naked nerve of the body, although he did have that pain, but he had pain that attacked the naked heart and soul. You say, Pastor, understanding where pain came from, how long will pain last on the earth? Well, Revelation chapter 21 says that it will last until God makes a new city. We will always have pain. Look at verse number 5. And he, verse of chapter 21 of Revelation. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. Man, I long for the day where God makes all things new. Romans chapter 8, verses 22 and verses 23. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. He said this, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. He said the whole earth groans in pain. Then he goes on to say, we ourselves groan within, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. My friend, there's no such thing as pain-free living on this earth. Now, I don't know about you, but I spend money and I go places to try to alleviate pain, and you may be able to alleviate my physical pain, but I promise you, there is emotional pain that no doctor, no medication could ever touch. Some people in this room understand that. Some of us don't have physical pain, but we have pains that deep down in our soul, we have relational pains, internal pains, emotional pains, discouragement kind of pains, and we carry those things with us, and I don't have to go and get medication for that, but I need something in my heart. There's no such thing as pain-free living. We've experienced that. You say, Pastor, knowing where pain came from and how long it will last, how could God be so cruel? How could God be so cruel? That's a decent question. I want you to understand something. The question is not, how could God be so cruel? The question is, how could God love so much? And God's people said, you say, Pastor, I don't understand those two thought processes. Well, my friend, go back to what I said in the beginning. God did not create pain. God created man and woman in perfect harmony with him. There was no displeasure. There was no nerve ending exposed. No nerve ending and no heart ending was ever exposed until sin came in unto the human body. You see, and then when sin came in, then pain began to be prevalent upon the earth. But God didn't make it that way. When God made Adam and Eve, it was God's intent that they would continually respond to God by faith. It was bliss for them not to know anything other than to obey and trust God. But when they decided to go away from obeying and trust God and decided to take upon themselves the opportunity to discern between right and wrong, their body became exposed. Their nerve endings had the capacity now to be exposed. The earth had capacity to be exposed. Feelings had capacity to be exposed. But when you go by faith, there's perfect rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it wasn't that God was so cruel. It's how could God love so much? Now, when I think about God's love, I go to a chapter, and it's in the book of Isaiah. Keep your hand in Revelation. Mark Revelation, but please find Isaiah chapter 53. I want you to see three things about God's love. I want you to see his identification with pain. I want you to see his consciousness of pain and his command over pain. This is all introduction. You say, good Lord, preacher, my roast is on. Don't worry, you'll get there in time, I promise you. Isaiah chapter 53. If you look, This is the greatest, I believe, the greatest chapter in the Bible. You ought to read this chapter at least once a week. If you're discouraged, you want to be encouraged, read it. If you're depressed and you want to be lifted, read it. If you're sorrowful and you want to receive joy, read it. Come to verse number 3 of Isaiah 53. Speaking of the Lord Jesus, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Look at verse number 7. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And I come to verse number 10, and I could hardly believe my eyes. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Pastor, why would you teach us this? Because I want you to know something, that God did not elevate himself above our pain. What did God do? God said, I know you're in pain, and I know you suffered that curse. So he sent the Lord Jesus, God himself, came to earth, became a man, and walked and traveled and became acquainted with our griefs. God's people said, glory to God for that. What do you mean? That means every pain that I physically go through, emotionally go through, internally go through, relationally go through, deceitfully go through, the Lord Jesus experienced those same pains. I said, Pastor, why do I need to know that? Because you need to know, not only did he identify with those pains, but he's also conscious of your pain. I'm reminded of what the Lord Jesus said, or what Hebrews teaches us about our high priest, that he is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. What does that mean? That means he can empathize and sympathize with us. The Lord Jesus would come to the multitude, and the Bible says he was moved with compassion. What does that mean? That means he consciously sees pain. Say, Pastor, I'm not sure I believe that. Well, why don't you ask the leper? Why don't you ask the blind man? Why don't you ask the woman who struggled with an issue of blood? Why don't you ask the widow who was weeping over her loss, the hungering man who needed something to eat, the man that was lost like a sheep without a shepherd? Never, one commentator said, never did morning wear to evening, but Christ's heart did break. Not only did he identify with our pain to the Lord Jesus, but he's conscious of the pain that I go through every day of my life. He's conscious of that pain that nobody sees. When he comes into Plantation Baptist Church and he's here right now, I see smiling faces. I see faces from all over the world. I see faces of people who guard things. That's what we do as humanity. But hallelujah, Jesus looks right through and sees the deepest, darkest part of my need. Not only does he identify with my pain, not only is he conscious of my pain, I want you to note his command over pain. Now get this. Pain came because of evil. Evil came because man chose to sin. It was never God's intention for man to bear pain. It was God's intention for man to trust God. There would be no pain when God had them in the garden. There would be no pain in the way of faith. It was not that intention. But evil came. And when evil came, it brought pain. But I read in the Bible in Genesis where God said that he could take what was meant for evil and use it for what, church? For good. Now think about this. How could God be so cruel? No. The question is, how could God love so much? He sent Christ to identify with our pain, any pain we have. He's conscious of our pain. He knows the pain that we go through. Not only that, he has command over pain. Why do I need to know that? Well, Pastor, if he's conscious of it and he identifies with it and he knows I have it, why doesn't he fix it? God uses what was meant for evil for our good. Now, pain is very helpful. Some of you have discovered you had cancer. I'm coming unplugged here. Some of you have discovered you had cancer because you had pain. I discovered I had infection that went all the way through the top of my gum, almost into my nasal cavity, because I had pain. Some of us discover a lot of things because we have pain. Do you know what? I use pain to train my children. Sure. I got sick and tired one day. Now, please don't think I'm a monster. I'm not a monster. But I got sick and tired of telling them, don't touch the stove. Don't touch the stove. Don't touch the stove. Hot, hot, hot. Don't touch. Hot, don't touch. Hot. You get the picture? One day I said, touch. I just stood there. I didn't say nothing. I was right there, and I was going to grab him. And I saw him look at me, and I said, hot, daddy, hot. Yeah, it's hot. It's hot. I use pain to train my children the same way you did. I didn't want to disobey. I didn't want to get a spanking. God uses pain in our lives to chasten us sometimes. You're not right with me. You say you're saved, but you're not going right. And pain comes in. Sometimes God uses pain to teach us about grace. Paul said 3 times, God, remove the pain from my life. Fix it, God. And God said, no, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not going to fix the pain, but I'm going to give you grace. How could God be so cruel? No, God loves us so much. What the devil meant for evil, God has command over. There is no greater authority and power in all the world than God. And so God uses pain for our good sometimes. Say, Pastor, the thought of that is more than I can take, because I am in immense pain today. I am in immense pain. Let me give you 3 things about the gospel of Jesus Christ that I believe will be a blessing to you. And I believe will be a help to you as we point out the Savior. Number one, if you would write it down, Pastor, how in the world can the gospel or can church or the Bible or the Lord Jesus help me in my pain? Number one, I'll tell you what the gospel does. By the way, what's the gospel? The gospel is the Lord Jesus. The gospel is salvation that's available to mankind. The gospel is that Jesus died, he was buried, and he resurrected. If I could put the gospel into one word, the word is Jesus. How can Jesus help me in my pain? Number one, the gospel quiets the questions. What are you talking about, preacher? Now, I want you to understand something. I used the word quiet. I didn't use the word answer. Big difference between being quiet and having answers. Can I stand here and give you a total answer from the Bible why you go through what you go through? No, but I can help quiet the question. You know what I have found sometimes in my own life? The questions hurt more than the pain hurts. Sometimes I can't shake the questions. I've been like you, and you've been like me. We've had troubles. Sometimes you can take pain for somebody, and sometimes you can handle pain. Sometimes the questions hurt more than the pain. What kind of questions, preacher? Questions like why? How come? What's going to happen? The question that haunted me after one of the greatest tragedies of my life was the question, what if? What if? What if? What if? You see, the gospel has helped me to understand that God is love. Esther, why do you need to know that? You see, it's hard to associate pain and love. Well, if you love me, why would you hurt me? Well, if you love me, then there should be no pain. We have a hard time associating pain and love. Do you know the Lord Jesus was bothered about one thing, but he wasn't bothered about another? The Lord Jesus, when he was getting ready to die, he did groan and he did have suffering in his spirit. And when he went to the tomb of Lazarus, he was perplexed over death a little bit as far as it troubled him. But pain never seemed to bother him. Matter of the fact, when they were nailing him to the cross, he said, Father, what? Forgive them. They know not what they do. The Bible says that he never really argued about pain. Why? Here was a man who knew bitter pain. Yet not for an instant did he ever doubt God or his Father. You see, pain and love, Pastor, is confusing me. Here's why it's confusing. The Bible says, where there's confusion, there's evil works. The devil would love to confuse pain with love. Now, I'm not saying you can abuse people or be foolish or break the law, but we go through pain sometimes and we think, God, how do you love me? Jesus went through bitter, hard pain and he never doubted the love of God. Oh, he had to suffer terribly. But he knew that God loved him. Now listen, I may not be able to answer why you go through pain, and we may not be able to see. We, right now on earth, we only see in part, and we don't know the whole picture about everything. But sometimes those questions that hit us just can be quieted in the fact that God loves me. That God loves me. We may not see why we should have to suffer. We may not see why our loved ones had to suffer. But we see Jesus Christ. That suffices me. I look at Christ and I see how he trusted God. I look at him and I see how that he was loved by God. And knowing that, I can look at my situation and say that even though I'm in immense pain right now, the book of Romans chapter 8 said, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. And God's people said, amen to that. So I'm in pain. And the gospel answers the question. Well, what's the question that gets answered? The question is, I have Jesus. And I look at him and he was never forsaken by the Father. He never doubted the love of God. And God was faithful to him and he suffered. But oh, I know God will be faithful to me. Not only does it quiet the question, but it clears the issue. It quiets the questions, but it clears the issue. What's the issue, Pastor? The issue is, an understanding of the gospel boils it down to the person of Jesus Christ. I do not believe in a set of rules, and I don't believe in religion. I believe in the Lord Jesus. And so as I go through pain in my life, the gospel clearly identifies the main issue. It's that I look unto him. I don't look under anything but to the Lord Jesus. A couple of things about the Lord Jesus you need to understand. No one stays closer to you than Christ. No one. I've been promised that when I receive Christ, he moves into my heart and he will never forsake me. Listen to what he wrote in Matthew. He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Christ is better than the most faithful husband. He's more comforting than the greatest wife in here. He's more reliable than the choicest of friends. There's no one more available or more interested whom you can talk to in the middle of the night. If you've ever had a conversation with God in the middle of the night out of the depth of your soul, you know he's a faithful God. Amen. He has promised he would never leave you. And my friend, listen to this statement. He will not walk out on you. No one stays closer than Jesus Christ. When you're going through pain, the thought that you don't walk through it alone is great. What else about Christ? No one heals deeper than Christ heals. Sometimes people say, Pastor, I'll never get over this. Yes, you can. Pastor, they tell me time heals all wounds. Nope, that's not true. Time may help with all wounds, but grace heals all wounds. So what does that mean? That means I don't care. There's some of you, you've lost a loved one, a child. You've lost them 20 years ago. The very thought of that brings back emotion and brings back pain. My tragedy was a couple of years ago. If I think about it, it is there prevalent right now. My friend, time may help me walk through, but Jesus heals my wounds. No one heals deeper than Christ. Remember, he's the man of sorrow. He's acquainted with our grief. Pastor, why is that so important? Because he understands loss. Unless you've ever had loss, you don't understand loss. But Jesus lost everything for you and I. He understands loss. What else does he understand, Pastor? Well, according to Isaiah 53, he understands what it feels like to suffer. To suffer alone, to suffer in silence. He understands the brutality of unfair criticism. He knows what it's like to feel helpless when no one understands. He knows what it likes to be forsaken and no one remaining in your corner. No one heals deeper than Jesus Christ. Not only does no one stay closer, no one heal, but no one comforts like Christ. In the midst of my deepest physical pain, He's there to comfort and give strength. You ever tried to comfort somebody in pain? It's not an easy thing to do. Sometimes as the pastor, I get called out to go and to help people in pain. And my prayer every time I go out there is, God, I do not have the physical capacity to help this person. You got to give me wisdom, God. You got to give me the word of God. God, I don't, you know, sometimes in comfort, you don't need to talk. You just need to open up your arms. I found that. Sometimes you just need a hug. Sometimes I have to go and tell them, I don't know. You know, sometimes it's comforting to just hear, I'm so sorry. Sometimes I hug them and we weep together. It's not easy to comfort somebody in pain. I remember when my wife was having our fourth child. Boy, do I wish it was like the old days where we didn't have to go in that hospital room. Why you men ever let that be changed? I don't know. Why'd you do that? Somebody tell me after the service why you did that. All the women are thinking, we fought for that. There I am. We're in the birth process. It's fantastic. It's scary and all that at the same time. Baby's being born. I'm the coach. You know, remember coach? You guys, you remember that stuff? I went to one class and said, gross, not going back. And we didn't go back. So we had on-the-job training. And all the commotion is going on. My job's to count. I know how to count, but you put pressure on me and things happen. Count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Count faster. I'll never forget that a day in my life. You're not counting fast enough. Okay, 2, 4, 6, 8. You remember that? Man, it shook me good. Her sister happened to be with us, and she said, let Sarah count. Count. Comfort's not easy. That's why the Bible says that God is the God of all comfort. My friend, there is a comfort that only God can do in your life. When He comforts you, it's comfort beyond your wildest expectation. God's people said, amen to that. No one stays closer to me in my pain. No one heals me deeper. No one comforts me more than Christ. You see, the gospel quiets the questions because it points to me that God's love. It clears the issue because it takes me right to the person of Christ. But it also creates hope. Now, I want you to see a verse that you have to read with your own eyes, and it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Would you please turn there? 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. The Apostle Paul is writing, and I want you to pick up maybe verse number 7. I promise you, this is not an easy passage, but would you let me finish before you give in? Verse number 7, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Paul says this, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. We're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. Boy, they were getting creamed for Christ's sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death does work in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus, that's the gospel, my friend, shall raise up us also by Jesus, hallelujah, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Now we'll get, here's our text. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, he's saying, though I carry pain in my outward man, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our, now don't miss this, for our light affliction. You say, Pastor, all those things he just went through, he calls them light affliction, death, persecution, trouble. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, they're temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Pastor, is God making light of my pain? My friend, I want you to understand something. God's not making light of your pain. Here's what the gospel does. It quiets the question. It clarifies the issue. But it also creates hope. What does that mean? Oh, that even though we live in a world of pain right now, one day we'll live in a world where there is no pain. And he's saying that the pain and the affliction that I go through on this earth is but for a moment. It seems like so long to me, Pastor. No, my friend. See, if I live to be 100 years, what is that in all of eternity? He's saying the affliction and the pain that I go through on this earth worketh for me a far more exceeding great reward when I get to glory. It gives me the creation of hope that one day the Lord Jesus will come back. And he will get me. You know, hope has a lot to do with how we bear things, doesn't it? How do you handle pain? How do you handle it? Let me teach you something. Be steadfast in your hope that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, he rose again, he ascended up into heaven, salvation is possible, and he is coming to get us, to take us to the New Jerusalem. And God's people said, amen to that. Two people can go through life with extreme pain, extreme agony. Maybe the same kind of pain and agony. One could be a man over here who's hopeless, nothing to live for, and in pain by his own doing. And over here you could have a mother getting ready to have a baby. Both of them in immense pain. One has hope. The other has no hope. One over here sees pain as a way to life. One over here sees pain as the end of the road. Say, Pastor, what does that mean? The difference between the two? Hope. The difference between me and somebody who does not know Jesus Christ is I have hope in the living Lord Jesus. And so the gospel quiets that question. And I look at Christ, never forsaken, knew God loved you, went through immense pain. The issue is clear to me. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. It creates hope in me that my light affliction is but for a moment. And one day I'll live in the world where there'll be no pain. Pastor, how do I access that world? You access that world by being born again. By receiving Jesus Christ. Christian, Pastor, I'm in deep pain right now. I'm going through a lot of things. The gospel is relevant for your life today. Say, Pastor, will the pain go away? Well, I'll tell you what the pain will do. The pain may not go away, but the pain will take its proper place, submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. And life for you can become gracious and powerful. And providential and proper and prosperous as we walk with him. You know, I learned something about pain. If you're not careful, pain will dominate you. I don't know if you get headaches. I got a headache one day and the pain just dominated me so bad I couldn't concentrate. Sometimes I get back pain, and man, that pain just gnaws at me all day, and I can't concentrate. And sometimes we go through emotional pain, and it just, Pastor, it just dominates me, it dominates me, it dominates me, it dominates me. Almost runs me into the ground. What answer is there? Right there. In a real Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And God's people say, amen. We live in a world of pain, my friend, but hallelujah, we have a great Savior. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father God, I know you met with us today. I don't doubt that at all. You ordained the whole day. God, I know the message of the hour is it's a world of pain. You didn't create it to be a world of pain, but we chose to sin and pain came in. But you didn't forsake us, God. You sent Christ to identify with our pain, to become the man of sorrow, acquainted with my grief. Now he's conscious of my pain. Now he's has command over pain. And now he can save me and he can be my Savior, walk through me and heal me and comfort me. And God created me hope. I know there are people today that need that hope. And God, there's God's people here, maybe saved people. They're dominated right now by their pain. God, you told Paul that grace was sufficient. God, my prayer for them is that they'd not be dominated by pain, but they'd be dominated by grace. I don't know a formula for that. I can't just give them a magic words. But I know this. Nothing is impossible with you. The choir saying, without you, I could do nothing. But with you, I can do all things through Christ. So God, meet our need now. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder if you'd let me ask you a question or two. I want to talk to the Christian just a minute. You know you're saved. You know Christ. Say, Pastor, I'm in that world of pain today, physical, emotional, whatever. But boy, that last part about it dominating me, it's there. Pastor, I don't want to be dominated by that. I want to know the lifting of the grace of God. Pastor, I need prayer today. The enemy's after me, and I'm in immense pain, whatever that pain would be. Pray for me, Pastor, that I would have a life of grace. Just lift your hand quietly and let the preacher pray for you. Pastor, pray for me. Sure. Sure. All over. All over. God bless you. Put them down, please. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never been saved. I'm in that world of pain. But I sure would like to know Christ. I sure would like to be saved. And I sure would like for Him to be my Lord in the midst of my life. Pastor, don't embarrass me and don't call my name. Don't come get me. Don't do anything that would embarrass me. But just simply pray for me and say, God bless you. Pastor, here's my hand. Pray for me. I need to be saved. If you'd lift your hand, I'd pray for you. I won't embarrass you, but I'll pray for you. Just lift your hand so I can see it. Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. Thank you. God bless you. Would you stand, please? Heavenly Father, God, in a moment now, we give this invitation. God, we're going to sing page 331. There's room at the cross for you. There is room today. God, I know there's been some that have been saved this week, and they need to come and give public testimony that they've been saved. Somebody may want to come and join the church today. God, there may be a Christian here that needs help as they're in pain, maybe physical, maybe whatever, but God, they need the comfort that only God could give. Maybe there's one soul today without Christ. They'd have enough courage to walk down front and take me by the hand and say, I need to be saved. God, you have your way in our invitation now. And I love you in Jesus' name. Amen.